W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
This is the WTH Podcast.
Oh, yes, indeedy. No matter where you are listening, from your Amazon Echo to your Spotify to YouTube to Apple Podcasts and beyond, thank you for downloading or streaming the WTH Podcast. Thank you for doing your shopping on Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com, or if you're old school, NateDarlingShow.com.
Whichever, bro.
Yep. Whichever one you like, it's there for you, as are we. Again, new shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every single week because we care. And you deserve to be entertained. Just another reminder, the Morning Crunchwrap podcast off for another week, a two-week hiatus, as announced last week on social media. By the way, do most of the announcements coming on Instagram, so please, if you're interested in what's going on, follow.
I need to do that.
WTH underscore pod or podcast. I forget which one it is. You'll figure it out on Instagram. Also, Morning Crunchwrap on Instagram as well. Those are both in effect with fun new graphics for every single show. Excuse me. So, question for you, Jason.
Yeah.
If you were, say, starting a business, how important would being close to a Starbucks be to you? I know it's a random question and there's never a Starbucks too far away, but how close, ideally, would you want to have your business be to a Starbucks?
Is there a specific type of business or?
No, just any old business where you go, it's your business and you go to work.
I would say that it depends on the type of business. If it was a coffee shop, I wouldn't want anywhere near
the place. Well, obviously it's not a coffee shop.
That's the business I would do. I don't know. I'd prefer the Starbucks be closer to my house than to my work. So I wouldn't matter to me necessarily.
Okay. So yeah. No difference.
No difference.
Indifferent.
Indifferent.
Now, would you rather?
Well, no, I don't want to say indifferent because that gives a term of like that it is just what it is.
Sure.
Whereas I just don't give a fuck.
I believe that's the definition of it is what it is.
No, it's not.
You literally could not care.
I'm happy if it happens and I'm happy if it doesn't. I'm not like, oh, well, that's just going to happen.
Okay. So let's just for shits and giggles.
Okay.
Shits and giggles. And if you drink enough Starbucks, you'll probably have both. Or shits and cries.
Shit.
And cries. Definitely shits. If you could replace that Starbucks with a local coffee shop, like say Temple Coffee, would you?
Well, fuck Temple Coffee.
What?
Yeah.
What? I did not know you had an issue with Temple Coffee.
No, not so much Temple Coffee, but definitely Chocolate Fish. Temple.
What's the issue with Chocolate Fish?
So. Here's the thing is that like,
other than it's a terrible name.
Yeah, it was a horrible name. There's really only one place that I feel that I go, that I get what I want. And it's like no bullshit. And that's, Pachamama, which there's one on 20th and between 20th on J and I.
Okay.
And they're like all free trade. It's a co-op of actually different coffee farmers.
Okay.
They have one there, and they have one on like 33rd and J up further.
Okay. East Sac.
Yeah, right.
It's not 33rd and J, that I know.
It's one block before that. It's like one block before that. Because there's another coffee place that's right there. But it's like a block sure. down. But it used to be a yogurt shop. It used to be Big Spoon.
Yeah. Oh, I love Big Spoon.
Remember that Big Spoon that used to be there?
When I first moved to Sacramento, I loved Big Spoon yogurt more than anything.
Yeah.
And Leslie hates
frozen yogurt?
Big Spoon. No. she does. So yeah, we never go.
So anyhow, so it was a Big Spoon, and now it's a
okay, yeah.
So that's the one that I like, and that's because when I go there and I'm like, hey, I'd like a light roast, or like I found them and they have a light roast, like I can get a light roast there. But the first time I went to Chocolate Fish to buy some coffee, I was like, yeah, I'd prefer something like of a lighter roast, you know, and they're like, all of our coffees are roasted at this as long as they need to be. So we don't really have like a light or medium roast. Do you want more of like a citrusy or like more of like a stone fruit taste? Like, oh. Do you want it like chocolatey? Like, oh, what type of coffee? I don't know, man. I just want the light roast. Like, I just want a lighter roast. Like, I like coffee and I like good coffee. Right. I'm not here to get into the bouquet and into the fucking tannins that are on my tongue, you know, like Jesus Christ. Like, so anyway, so like that's been my experience with both Temple and like not so much Temple as much, but still I get a little bit of a heaping of entitlement, and I know coffee better than you ever will.
Sure.
And that's definitely not the case.
Now, have you tried Phil's coffee yet?
Yes, I have.
And what do you think of Phil's?
It's all right.
It's a pour over.
It's coffee.
Like, I've been once.
I you know what I was really impressed with that I got there is she got a decaf, because that's what she doesn't drink coffee and she was pregnant, but she got a decaf mint julep or like it was like a mojito.
Okay.
Like it was like a coffee mojito. And I was like, this is fucking dope. This tastes amazing.
Phil's feels a little different than the other coffee shops. Yeah. Everything is a pour over of sorts. Everything is a pour over.
Yeah.
But not like if you go to Temple or someplace like that and you get a pour over, it's a little different.
Yeah. It doesn't have the same.
And it's a bigger chain. Like they're opening stores in Chicago now. They're all up and down the West Coast.
Yeah. And I went to it in San Francisco. It was the first time I went.
I believe that's where they started.
And it's cool. What's good about that is that you don't get that same like shitty like where I'm above you idea there. You know, it's just like Joe says everything it needs to.
Well, ultimately, if you really don't want to feel like anyone's talking down to you, go to Dutch Brothers. I mean, you have to like techno. But other than that, I love Dutch Brothers. I really do, because everybody seems stoked to be working there.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they're hyped up on caffeine and in high school. So there's that, but it's just such a blast.
Yeah. So that's why like Pachamama has growlers of cold press.
Okay.
So like for $14, I have a growler and I take my $14 and I go and I get filled up with cold brews. And yeah, that's my,
I will say this. If you are, and this is a coffee that we found because we went to Four Sisters Cafe in Rockland. Mm-hmm. The name of the coffee company is Mast Coffee, M-A-S-T. And they are local. They're based out of Rockland. And we had this coffee at Four Sisters Cafe a while ago. And we asked what it was, and they actually had some for sale. It's the Heritage Dark Roast. And I know you like a lighter roast, but this stuff is the goddamn truth, Jason. And if you're a notes person, it has smooth notes with dark chocolate and a full body. And it comes from Central and South America. It is fucking fantastic.
Well, don't talk to me until you have some of that.
This stuff in a pour over, and it is smooth every time. Now, I like Temple coffees. Now, their main coffee is called Dharma.
Yeah.
It's an espresso. To do that in a pour over, it's not great.
Right. Because it's an espresso.
It's really good in the AeroPress.
Have an AeroPress?
I do have an AeroPress.
You do not.
I do have an AeroPress.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
Yeah, I got it for either Christmas or my birthday. I think Christmas.
I want a fucking AeroPress.
Oh, you do. You do. It's a
I want you to make me
one. You want one now?
Yeah. No, maybe I've never had it that. I've never had coffee that way, and I've heard that that's the ultimate way to have it if you are a coffee.
I don't know that it's the ultimate way, but it's really good. Tell you what. Next show, I will make you an AeroPress.
Oh, shit.
Before we start.
Oh, my God.
So you'll be set to go. Now, here's the thing about an AeroPress. You're going to get about a 6-ounce cup of coffee.
Yeah, but it's going to be fucking dope.
It's really good. And so for the pour over, you grind. Sorry if we're boring you with the coffee
talk. This is coffee talk.
Yeah, it's a coffee talk. What are we going to do? screw those crazy news stories. We'll get to those. But so if you're doing a pour over, it's a much more coarse grind.
Yeah.
And I also got a nice grinder for Christmas too. And if you're doing an AeroPress, it's a really fine grind.
Like an espresso grind almost, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. And it's sort of like the process is a little like a French press, except a French press is super bitter.
Depending on how you make it and how long you let it sit, yes.
A French press is about, it's like, so a French press is like Phil Spector's wall of sound on your taste buds. It just washes over them with literally a lot of everything.
You can, yeah.
Whereas I would say the AeroPress is just smoothness personified. Mm. A pour over is more like a symphony where you can hear every single instrument.
Yeah.
So if you go somewhere where they do a pour over, you can sit and you can literally all of those things that you read about on the coffee bags that you never taste in a pour over. That's where you taste them.
Yeah.
Because of the way it's made. So that's been coffee talk.
I use my Bialetti.
Hey.
So Bialetti was developed to be like the in-home espresso in Italy.
We have an espresso. We have a Nespresso as well.
Right. And that's pretty dope. That makes pretty awesome espresso.
It's the cat's ass.
I use my Bialetti and I have a 9-cup one. So it's like 9 shots of espresso. You have to finally grind it. But what I found, and this is the thing about it, is that like, I was reading up on it because like, man, I got it and I liked the idea of it, but I just feel it's not that it doesn't taste as good as I think it should, you know, and I don't want to be wasting my good coffee in it if I'm not doing it correctly. And I'd read up on it before, but then I was reading up on it again and it was like, you need to do almost a medium fine. Like it's like almost between medium and fine that you have to medium fine and fine. There's like almost a setting between those two that you need to find to grind this in the right way. So I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to get some Italian coffee that's made for the Bialetti for a mocha pot. Cause that's what they're called. A mocha pot, MOKA pot. And they actually have coffee that's specifically ground Illy, which is a pretty high brown.
You know, I had that for the first time when we went to Vegas in November.
Oh yeah,
what'd you never think? Had it. It was really good.
Yeah, so I saw what I did is this is an experiment to see what the grind looked like on stuff that was made specifically. Much better experience with it, and also knowing that I used to heat it up the water up as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You want to heat the water up slowly.
You know, here's the thing about this episode of the WTH podcast: the only people yelling "What the hell" are the people listening, going "What the hell are they fucking talking about?"
Coffee, brah.
I want
coffee, brah. I don't drink alcohol, brah. It's like, and Nate doesn't smoke weed, so we can't talk about that. So coffee is something that we get to talk about. So what the hell is you?
Everybody is sitting there going, look, I came here for the wacky news stories and they're just talking about coffee.
We'll stop.
See, look, we're here for good times and great oldies. And I did work at a station. We had a jingle, good times and great oldies. Just
here's another one from the Beatles. Let it go. Oh, sorry. This is a Frozen Hour. Frozen Hour. On Disney.
Oh, God.
89.8.
Here's a classic that everybody loves.
And now it's time for the airing of the f***ing grievances.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, bitch.
It's Monday. You came for the grievances. Jason, what's chewing a hole in your ass cheek?
I'm going to talk about something that I had to hold inside at the time because I didn't want to ruin the experience. So I had a daddy daughter day. I talked about a little bit. We went to
About that on last Wednesday show.
Yeah. But I just want to say a big fuck you to Meat and Eat, and they can go suck a fat fucking dick and eat an asshole. Eat that ass. Because like, this is a thing, is that, you know, I just to give you an idea what the menu says. So I went out their signature items, which should be like the items that they make the best, right? If it's a signature item, that means this is one of our specialties. And this is what I ordered. And it's like 2X, toasted English muffins, 2 mini burgers, sunny side up, organic eggs, bacon, spinach, mayo, and choice of house potatoes or fries. Okay? So the eggs, sunny side up. Both the yolks were on just one burger. Get the fuck out of here. And they were connected. Who served? Like, I had to cut. It was 2 separate sandwiches, and I had to cut the egg so I could eat them as 2 separate sandwiches. Ugh. Like, what the fuck is up with that?
It's terrible.
The other thing, it says house potatoes or fries. The guy also offered me hash browns. So I said, oh, I would love to have hash browns.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make them crispy? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll make them crispy. Because
on one side?
It doesn't matter. On both of them, on both sides.
No. Look, I've been to enough brunches in Sacramento to know that crispy hash browns is always only on one side.
On one side. It wasn't crunchy on either side. And this guy was like so bro, like he was so bro, like had the haircut, was talking about fitness with another guy, talking about how he needed to work out and how he could, you know, get into shape better and how it's doing so good for him, doing what he's doing. Like how he used to weigh 20 pounds more than he does right now. But now since he's been on this new protein diet, you know, like because my daughter and I were sat right behind. All this shit's going on. Like I pushed it all out of my mind and I just wanted to enjoy the moment. But that side of me on the inside was, there was a stenographer, mm-hmm. that was just like taking notes of everything that was fucked up while like, so I was present.
Sure.
I would love my daughter. I wasn't on my phone. We were, you know, talking. I was helping her eat. Like it was awesome. It was a great time with her. But in the back of my mind, I had this little stenographer like typing out all the shit that I was fucking pissed off about the fact that like when I told the guys as I was leaving that like they should clean the and this is one of the things that probably upset me the fucking most because like. I just hate bad customer service. Like, and I don't like if a customer tells you something about their experience and it's a negative experience, then your duty as an employee at a restaurant like this is to make sure that customer is leaving happy and or at least satisfied that something's going to happen because of what they've said. So as I'm leaving, we were sitting right underneath the heater, like because we're outdoors and like we're right underneath this like the ceramic heater that was there. And I kept getting whiffs every once in a while of what smelled like a homeless person's like had sat there in urinated pants. Mm. You know that piss smell, like day old piss smell.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah.
Like you know, especially after it's rained and whatnot, right? Like you know, there's that fresh piss smell. Mm-hmm. But that's the way it was. And that fucking shit, like, so as we're leaving, I'm like, I'm not sure if it's the, like, maybe somebody cleaned the ceramic heater with something. And, like, what I'm smelling is a residual from that. Or if somebody
right.
did something, but it smells like a homeless person sat over there and pissed their pants. And my server and the guy standing next to him both laughed and thought that was the most hilarious thing they ever thought. They didn't offer any type of apology. They didn't say we're sorry, man. They just thought that shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
And didn't do anything. Like, and didn't do anything about it. Didn't try to And the espresso shot that I got, I asked for 4 shots. It looked like 2. It looked like a double shot. I should have said risotto shots, right? Get the fuck out of here, man. I should have asked for long pours or something. They gave me the shortest fucking 2 shots pour. Like, the 4 shots literally looked like 1 shot. I mean, it was fucking ridiculous. Like, it was so stingy, and I paid like $6 for this shit because it had condensed milk in the bottom of it, so it was kind of sweet. So fucking upsetting, man. Like that's why I get why people are coffee snobs sometimes, you sure. know. I get it. Like, cause I'm a coffee snob. Like, I know what a fucking shot of espresso looks like. Don't show me a 4-shot of espresso and say, well, I pressed the button that says 4. Like, I pressed the double twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a fucking double shot, bitch.
I will tell you. So you don't know why I'm laughing right now, but you don't know why, because you're so angry. You referred to it as a risotto shot.
Oh, ristretto, ristretto, right? Yeah.
Just right? Picturing Gordon Ramsay yelling at somebody, calling them a donkey. This is my thing. Yeah.
Ristretto. Yeah. Sorry.
It's all good. You were mad.
I was served ristretto shots, and I wanted a long shot or a long pull, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just was fucking pissed, man.
It's bullshit. You know what else is bullshit? Jason, the Golden State Warriors. Right. I am so...
Because they're going to win again?
Over the Golden State Warriors.
Because they're going to win again?
They have, as we record this, and this will be a week old by the time you hear that, they have swept the Portland Trail Blazers and are going again to the NBA Finals, where they will be taking on, and I think this may be decided, well, not if it goes to 7 games, either the Milwaukee Bucks or the Toronto Raptors. I am so over the Warriors. I am so over the bandwagon. I am so over the nickname Dubs. It even sounds stupid. Oh, the Dubs win. The Dubs. The Dubs. Oh, did you hear about the Splash Brothers and the Dubs? You sound like a homeless stoner. The Splash Brothers and the Dubs, man. They're the best. And every single year, it's the same thing. Who will be sacrificed at the hands of the Splash Brothers and the Dubs? Who shall be vanquished? There's no Game of Thrones with them. It would be like in the first episode of Game of Thrones, if the dragons would have just burned everybody and they went, ha ha ha, done. That's what the Warriors
are like. I noticed
you're
wearing the Warriors colors tonight.
It's a New Japan Pro Wrestling
But
shirt.
It's still gold and blue.
It is gold and blue. They don't own those colors.
No, but it looks, if fact, I was walking up to you from 50 feet away, I would think that you were a Warriors fan.
Dubs.
I thought you were
Dubs.
Yeah, rolling on Dubs.
Splash Brothers Dubs. And look, my father-in-law is a Warriors fan. Well, to be fair, my father-in-law loves a winner.
I've been telling you said that.
He loves what? Well, I'll tell you. He loves a winner. That's fine. So he enjoys watching them.
So he does
really
not like John McCain.
I'm not going there. Leslie's grandmother, who's 93.
Okay.
She's in her 90s.
Wow.
She loves the Warriors. I'm not talking about those two. You know the people I'm talking about. You see them around Sacramento. And by the way, nothing irritates me more than seeing Warriors shit in Target in Sacramento. It's like, get that shit out of here. We have an NBA team here.
Yeah, we have a lot of Bay Area transplants now.
That's fine. That's fine. That's why there's A's and Giants shit, because we don't have a Major League Baseball team here. And that's okay. I don't mind Sharks stuff here. But but yeah, no, none of the Dubs.
You're over the Dubs.
I'm over the Dubs. That's my grievance. And you know what? It doesn't fucking matter, because they're going to win the title again. They're going to have another parade again. And then they're going to leave Oakland and move into San Francisco, where the price of their tickets is going to be even more ridiculous.
Even more ridiculous.
So bad. Yeah. Over the Dubs. So that's my grievance for today. This just into us, speaking of wacky news. You wanted wacky news? What the hell? Yeah. A Colorado man has been ordered to pay more than $28,000 to cover damages after he pleaded guilty to stealing a snowcat painted to look like the General Lee car featured in the TV series The Dukes of Hazzard. Okay, I don't know what is the bigger what the hell in this, that this dude stole a snowcat, or that there was a snowcat painted to look like the General Lee in Colorado. The Vail Daily reports the owners of the Snowcat said Jason Cuervo.
It's too close to my name, bro.
Well, it's also too close to Jose. Damaged the tracks, axles, and electrical system after stealing it last year. Authorities say Cuervo hitched a trailer holding the Snowcat to his pickup and hauled it along I-70. He was arrested a few weeks later at an auto shop. He blamed the crime on his opioid addiction.
It's a good one.
It was the opioids, man. They made me steal that Snowcat.
That's a good one. That's a good excuse. I've used it twice.
Does it work?
No.
Exactly. He's serving 3 years in a community corrections program after pleading guilty to aggravated motor vehicle theft. Again, why is there a Snowcat painted like the General Lee?
Because they were hopping over fucking creeks and they were getting chased down by Boss Hogg and Roscoe Pico Coltrane. And they were also, having good racing times and they were running that shine.
Here's what I will tell you. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.
Yeah.
Law got them.
Yeah, well. How much moonshine did they have in the back of that thing?
All opioids.
Well, I mean, to be fair, opioids are the new moonshine.
Oh, it's true. It's true. Very true. All right. Meanwhile, in Arkansas, I'm just going to let the local news people handle this one.
Been 15 years in prison for posing as a California sheriff's deputy in order to spring her boyfriend from jail. 30-year-old Maxine Feldstein pled guilty in court today to forgery, third-degree escape, second-degree criminal impersonation. Feldstein presented false paperwork to the Washington County Detention Center in July, which fooled the jailers into releasing her boyfriend.
Get the fuck out of here. Lowe.
The pair was arrested about a month later in Fayetteville last year. A judge sentenced Feldstein to 30 years in prison, but suspended half of that sentence. Lowe pled guilty in February, was given a one-year prison term and a five-year suspended sentence once he is released.
So she rolled into jail, showed some papers, said, hey, I'm a sheriff's deputy from California. And they went, all right, this looks good. Let him go.
That's believable.
So Guy Fieri. Let's talk Guy Fieri for a minute. Guy Fieri. I can't shit on Guy Fieri, or I couldn't. Well, I could, and then I couldn't, because dude does a lot whenever there's like a natural disaster, like when PG&E burned down the town of Paradise.
Who did?
PG&E, my electric company.
Who did?
Pacific Gas and Electric.
Did they have a rate increase recently to support maybe blowing up a town or burning down another town?
They put in for one.
Oh, okay. But they've already done another one.
Well, that's not their intention. They don't mean to.
Oh, right. No, they're just paying out billion-dollar claims.
Look, and they don't mean to burn down towns.
Hey, listen, it happens.
It just
right?
happens.
It happens. It's,
it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. So, again, I made fun of Guy Fieri. Then I'm like, I can't make fun of Guy Fieri because he does really nice things. I'm even pronouncing his name Guy Fieri.
Right.
I mean, he can't have a restaurant continue to be successful in the Sacramento area. They all fucking close.
Yeah, poor guy.
Besides that. So here's maybe a reason to hate him. And you tell me, Jason. Mm-hmm. After watching him for 30 seasons on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. 30 seasons is not 30 years, by the way.
No, it's probably like 10, 15.
10 or 15.
Yeah.
But as we learned from him before, you know, he's down to eat almost anything. Not everything is what it seems to when he compared to what he really eats. For example, despite his exuberance, when he sinks his teeth into most local delicacies, he doesn't always love the dish. Off screen, however, he won't hold back in providing constructive criticism to his fellow chefs. Now, perhaps even more surprisingly, however, there are a couple of foods that even Guy won't touch when he visits a restaurant, no matter how they're prepared. In his recent interview with People magazine, and why are they interviewing him? They followed him for 3 days filming Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. He disclosed two foods he will never eat, which is interesting considering he does diners. He will never eat liver, which does not surprise me. There's a lot of people who don't like liver. He will not eat eggs. What the hell? How do you not eat eggs? No, I get that. He explained liver is nasty. A lot of people say they don't like liver. Martha Stewart is definitely not one of them. She likes liver. She says, I eat eggs and dressings, but sunny side up, over easy, or scrambled? No, thank you.
That's fine.
I don't get it.
I know some people don't like the texture of eggs. I know that that's a thing with certain people. And I also know that, you know, liver, I mean, yeah, liver is one of those
things.
I
get liver.
Everybody gets why he wouldn't want to eat liver.
Sure, that's not a controversial stance. Now, he says he's a big fan of good-for-you greens, and it looks it. When he's not touring the country, he eats tons of veggies. He says, I'm not saying I'm a vegetarian, but people will be surprised at the amount of plant-based foods that I eat. Don't get me wrong, I get down with a good burger, but in moderation. His favorite foods include soy sauce and Brussels sprouts.
That's all right.
Your favorite food is soy sauce. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, his favorite food is maybe soy sauce with Brussels sprouts or Brussels sprouts and soy sauce.
You know what? I'm back on the hating guy.
No, come on.
Nope. He's going to have to PG&E is going to have to burn down another town accidentally, and he's going to have to feed everybody.
So aside from that, think of the other thing that he does too, which is he goes into these towns and he visits their local dive.
Well, here's the problem. He bites into it and he goes, and everybody watches on TV goes, that place is amazing. And then you go there and it sucks. Now, I'm not saying the places around Sacramento are like that, but there are a lot of places that get a huge rush of business because they were on TV and their food is okay.
So my experience with it, Hodad's, there's Hodad's in San Diego, which is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also another place there, Luigi's Pizza, which is down the street from where we got married.
Hey!
And they actually had a pizza that guy created when he was there. But I don't know. He goes to these places and he does give them a bump in sales and stuff like that, which is great. You know, some of these are mom and pop diners generally. These aren't, you know, these aren't corporate shenanigans. You know, these are just working class people. So that's cool, man. That's good in my book.
Hey, welcome to Luigi's. We got the pizza that Guy Fieri made. Hey.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh, the new ownership at the Luigi's, it's on Stockton.
Yes, sir.
Amazing pizza.
Oh, good.
I had a great pizza there.
And a great neighborhood. Not in Stockton, on Stockton Boulevard in Sacramento.
Yes. And by the Colonial Theater.
Yeah. Oh, another great venue. Oh my God, so nice.
I would love to
pizza get that. So nice.
I would love to get that place and redo the whole thing.
Sure. You got an extra 500 grand laying around.
Yep.
Yep.
When this podcast takes off.
Sure. Sure. By the way, you're going to need to do a lot of shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at WTHpod.com in order for that to happen. So get on it so Jason can renovate a theater in a sketchy sort of neighborhood.
Just kind of.
Well, you know, the other side of the street, nice enough neighborhoods. Nice enough neighborhoods.
That's actually, I've been looking at some houses over that area.
There you go. Yeah. I had an ex who lived over there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Nice little side street.
nice little side piece. Yeah, Whoa.
This was before Leslie.
Come on.
Before Leslie.
Come on.
No side piece.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Yeah, don't disappoint.
Headline man arrested for bringing his child to work with him.
Wait, what's with that?
Well,
he's a pimp?
No. Well, he allegedly brought his 11-year-old son to work with him. The job in question was the burglary of a St. Petersburg residence.
Oh.
Joseph McIntosh, 32, and a 23-year-old accomplice were collared on a Saturday afternoon on the front porch of the home they had just burglarized. The owner of the home was not there. Cops say McIntosh was accompanied during the heist by his 11-year-old son, who was forced to be there by his father. That's according to the affidavit. But, Dad, I don't want to go on the heist. When McIntosh was collared, he was found on the front porch of the residence with items in his hands and in his backpack that came from the residence. in addition to the felony burglary count, charged with child abuse, which is also a felony, methamphetamine possession. I'm guessing that's also a high up there on the no-no list. Locked up in lieu of $15,300 bond. At the time of his arrest, he was free on $3,300 bond in connection with an April 30th bust.
Oh, man.
For possession of meth, Xanax, and drug paraphernalia. He was released from the county jail May 8th, just 3 days before the latest arrest. His rap sheet includes convictions for possessing pot, selling pot, possession of drug paraphernalia, and violating probation.
Oh, man.
And now he's got a bunch more. And you know the old saying, the only thing will stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun?
The true?
Well, what happens when the good guy accidentally fires his gun in the grocery line?
Huh.
Dateline Miami, authorities say an off-duty Florida police officer accidentally discharged his gun at a grocery store and grazed the nearby woman.
What the fuck?
It's what the hell.
What the hell?
Yeah, there you go. Miami-Dade police spokesman Chris Thomas said the shooting occurred Wednesday afternoon at the Kendall Publix. Police say the city of Miami officer was standing in the checkout line and reaching in his pocket when the gun went off. Come on.
Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, don't blame the gun, man. Okay. Hey, you know, if someone's really well trained with a gun, it just makes us all safer. Anyway, the bullet ricocheted off the ground and hit a woman who was also standing in line. Miami-Dade Fire Rescue responded and treated her at the scene. Thankfully, nothing's too serious. City of Miami Police spokesman Dexter said the department is conducting an internal investigation. And they're going to handle it in a storage unit with some plastic wrap.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what's going on in Florida. There you go.
There you go.
Florida. Good guy with a gun. Shoots a woman in light at the Publix. Oopsie.
I can't wait to do it myself.
All right. So you know how important birthdays can be to the ladies, right?
Yeah.
Don't mention how old they are, but it's really important to have and acknowledge a birthday.
Yeah, you want to make sure they know that you care about them. And
now, we've mentioned Pennsylvania before. It's in the running to take over as Florida of the North from its neighbor, Ohio.
Ohio's pretty bad up there, though.
It is. Headline, birthday girl gets slashy over no cake, gift, or card. A Pennsylvania woman who turned 55 on Wednesday assaulted a male acquaintance with a box cutter because she had not received a present, card, or cake to mark the occasion.
With reactions like that, of course not.
Double nickels. Cops say Georgia Zawacki, yes, she is Zawacki, was celebrating her birthday back on May 15th when matters turned stabby at her Pittsburgh area residence. As reported in a probable cause affidavit, and I'll be able to say that one day, David Ray, who's lived with Zawacki for 4 months, told police that Zawacki consumed a large amount of vodka throughout the day. Well, it was her birthday. Ray, who's 59, added that Zawacki eventually became extremely upset and violent because nobody brought her a birthday present, birthday card, or birthday cake. Incensed, Zawacki allegedly grabbed a box cutter and held it near Ray's throat, threatening to kill him. It's not funny. Ray told police that he shoved Zawacki away, but she came back at him waving the box cutter. He did have several cuts on his left arm during the altercation. He told police that Zawacki then trashed his room, throwing his TV on the floor, tipping over a nightstand, and breaking his bed. That's why you affix that stuff to the wall.
Yeah.
So there, that's how you prevent that. A patrolman responded to a 3 p.m. call about a physical domestic dispute located Zawacki sitting on a neighbor's porch. She was arrested for aggravated assault, which is a felony, a reckless endangerment, making terroristic threats, and simple assault. Those are all misdemeanors. Happy birthday. You get a free trip to the Westmoreland County Prison and a lockup in lieu of $25,000 bail. Now, according to records, Zawacki's rap sheet includes convictions for disorderly conduct, drunk driving, harassment, assault, the ever popular making terroristic threats. And of course, Jason,
public drunkenness.
No, she gets drunk sometimes?
Yeah. Mm. Drinking vodka throughout the day. That's never a good thing when someone's drinking vodka throughout the day. Nothing good is going to come of that.
You have to keep up on it, you know? I want to make sure you don't get... It's like oil.
There are some things that you can drink throughout the day. Vodka is not one of them. All right, let's get the heck out of here. Wrap up this week's recording of shows. Hey, just want to take a moment, because it is Memorial Day, to remember all of the men and women who've paid the ultimate price to protect our freedoms in this great country. And hoping that their sacrifices weren't made in vain in a lot of cases.
Fighting for your freedom of speech, your freedom of religion.
Your freedom not to impress your religion upon others. Freedom of religion is for everybody, not just for...
people that believe what you believe.
Yeah. So when you say stupid shit like that, you're really dishonoring the memory of those who paid the ultimate price so that we could be free. And... that's kind of shitty.
It's a basic tenet of our government is a separation between church and state.
And separation of powers and all of those other things. So no matter which side of the political landscape you find yourself on, try to take a moment and between your cookouts and all of that to remember why people gave their lives fighting against tyranny throughout the world. 'Cause it's important. So anyway, not to end on a bummer, let's end on this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
This small town news comes to you from the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, my old stomping grounds.
Ooh-wee.
And how do you know? Well, the headline, police underage drinking party busted in Westmore.
Oh, this is big news, bro.
Mm-hmm. Police say that for two weekends in a row, not one, but two, they've responded to complaints of underage drinking at a house in Westmore. Shame, shame. Around 11:20 p.m. on Friday, police say they received a report of an underage drinking party at a home located on Hinton Hill. Police say when they arrived at the home, they had a large number of vehicles parked in the driveway and the road. Now, according to the report, individuals were seen fleeing from the residence into the woods.
Oh, that's a musical.
It's also a very small town thing to do. Troopers say they also responded to the same residence the weekend prior for a similar complaint. A total of 10 minors were issued diversion paperwork for the consumption of alcohol under the age of 21 between two separate responses. Now, police say the homeowner was cited into court for enabling alcohol consumption by minors.
Oh, man, Joe is pissed.
Yeah, you don't get to be the cool parents anymore. Unless cool means... court-ordered
volunteer work.
Oh my God, we are in a lot of trouble. Cool. So I'm not good at acronyms. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's the way it goes. But that, I mean, that was published. That's small town
news. Small town news.
Did anybody die? No.
Nope.
Was there a bunch of drugs? No. Was there a bunch of raping? No, it was a bunch of underage kids drinking and that ran off into the woods.
Drinking, what is it called? 3-5 beer?
What?
There was in some states.
Oh, we didn't have that.
Like, you can drink certain beer.
No.
I think it's 3-5. No. I think that's what it's. Like, no. 3.5% alcohol.
No, no. When they raised the drinking age in 1986 in Vermont, that was Reagan. Reagan blackmailed all of the states that had a drinking age of 18 to raising it to 21 by saying, if you don't do it, we're going to take away all of your highway funds. So you won't have any federal money to work on your roads in your state.
Boom, dropping the hammer, bitch.
By the way, this is small government, limited government, conservative icon Ronald Reagan using the hammer of the federal government to blackmail states to raise their drinking age to 21. Everything you believe as a conservative is a bunch of bullshit. Oh, wait. Well, maybe not everything.
And he was only for gun rights when it was white people, FYI. He enacted some of the toughest gun laws in California because of the Black Panthers.
Well, he also closed the mental hospitals in California, too.
Yeah.
Now, they weren't the greatest places in the world, but now a lot of those people are just on the streets or in jail. So,
or in and out.
Either way,
fuck it all. Fuck, burn it all down. Pretend it's King's Landing and just fucking burn it down.
Easy. Easy partner. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the WTH podcast. You know, I still want to call it the Nate Darling Show.
It is your namesake.
It is. We did it, you know, for so long. But
666 episodes.
666 episodes from 2011 to 2019, almost 8 years. It's the WTH podcast going forward. Again, we are everywhere you want to get your podcast. So thank you for listening. Thank you for telling everywhere. A friend if you're doing that. And again, thank you to all of those who paid the ultimate price to protect our freedoms and to their families who lost loved ones along the way. Back on Wednesday with another fresh new episode. Will we talk about coffee?
Who knows?
I don't know. That's the beauty of what we're doing.
Maybe a little bit because I'll have an AeroPress.
Oh, that's right. Well, I'll be making AeroPresses next time. All right, everybody, have a great one. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
That was frickin' crazy.